Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Palm Sunday.
Yes, happy Palm Sunday. I have my palms.
So we welcome you to this service here at Unity Center of Light. I am Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing this to you today. And please remember to join us in Zoom right after this, a Zoom fellowship. You can find out how to get in by looking in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. But right now, we are going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And our daily word reading for today, Palm Sunday, April the 10th. The key words are Palm and Sunday. And the affirmation is, I celebrate and welcome the Christ. Palm Sunday begins Holy Week and commemorates Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Although he arrived humbly, seated upon a donkey colt, the excitement of the gathered crowd amplified the celebration as they waved palms and shouted. Spiritually, the crowds represent humanity, joyously responding to the presence of the Christ among them. Jerusalem symbolizes a place of perfect peace. Today, I celebrate and claim this peace as my own, as the awareness of the Christ dawns in me. With each prayer on my lips and every thought in my mind, I celebrate and welcome the Christ of my being anew. And the scripture reading is taken from John 12:13, and it reads, "So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Amen." And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, wow, yeah, Palm Sunday. Boy, time just flies. You know, we're continuing with this series, which is called Spiritual Practice for Lent, okay? Release and Renew, Spiritual Practice for Lent, 2022. And this is part five, but, you know, of course, it's Palm Sunday. So we're going to be talking a lot about all of the biblical dynamics around the idea of Palm Sunday. But in addition, there's going to be some information that I'm going to share of what's called the anticipated deliverer, okay? And also, we're going to look at what's called the 19th Messianic Psalm, okay? So to get started, let's continue with what Pam was sharing when she was reading the Daily Word by looking at what is written in John 12:12-15, okay? So it says, the next day a great crowd who had come to feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palms and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young colt and sat upon it, as it is written, fear not, as it is written. And we're going to find out where that was written, but as it is written, says, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a colt, okay? So, and we're going to continue by some more. Now, I've got a lot of slides because, especially some of those people like to take notes, it's much easier to do it this way. And there's some important concepts that we're going to be talking about. So the folks, were shouting, you know, Hosanna. So the word Hosanna is Aramaic for God save us or God help us. And the part of this verse about Jesus riding on a colt is the fifth prophecy found in the Old Testament in Zechariah 9:9. And this is why I wanted to have a slide so you can keep track of what it is I'm sharing. So, and it's recorded that, you know, as being fulfilled in John 12:13. So it was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9 in the Old Testament and then fulfilled and it was recorded in John 12:13. In addition, we find a messianic palm in Psalms
Psalm.
Thank you, Donna. Psalm, thank you. A messianic psalm in Psalms 118, 24 through 29. A messianic psalm being psalms about Christ. Okay? So we're going to continue on, go right to the next one. So it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us prosperity. Blessed is one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Commit to the festive processions with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will exalt, glorify, and honor you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Okay, so there's a lot there. And there's a lot of deep meaning in that. Okay, so I went to the Drake's Annotated Reference Bible. You know, for this psalm, Psalm 118, is referred to as the 19th Messianic Psalm. Psalm meaning the coming of the Messiah. So the Messiah being the anticipated deliverer. And that's what I said. We're going to talk about this idea of anticipated deliverer. And again, this anticipated deliverer, and it says on being the anticipated deliverer and the king of the Jews, okay? So this is what they were hoping for, okay? And I'm going to relate that to all of us in terms of how we're actually looking for an anticipated deliverer. So, you know, a Messiah in general is regarded as a savior or a liberator. But in the consciousness of humankind, the Messiah is an anticipated deliverer. So no matter what our faith, we are always hopeful that there will come one or something that will deliver us from whatever dilemmas are going on in our lives. And whether it be deliver us from health challenges, financial, job, or relationship challenges, or to deliver us from, you know, broader societal challenges like gun violence and terrorism and, you know, rising prices and gas and food. You know, we as human beings hold a vision of being delivered from the dilemmas in our lives. And hopefully you can relate to that. And typically we're looking for something practical and believable, okay? Yes, we're looking for miracles, but in theory, we usually have something in mind as to how we would like to be delivered from whatever we're going through. Like how the whole world during the pandemic was hoping for the development of the coronavirus vaccine, okay? We wanted a vaccine. Once it was mentioned about a vaccine, then we were all hopeful for this anticipated deliverer. You know, the vaccine being created and delivering us from the plague of coronavirus. So to better understand the message of Psalm 118, we're going to interpret the four verses which contain four words of advice on how to praise God. And in these verses, we're being advised as to how to position our consciousness to become aware of the coming of the deliverer, okay? So we want to be delivered from whatever it is we're going through. Individually, personally, we all have our own things that we're looking for, some kind of anticipated deliverer. So the deliverer being, you know, that which we hope for, again, in our own way, according to our personal life circumstances, okay? So the four verses are in Psalm 18. The first one is Psalm 118. The first one is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That's the first one. Second word is verse 2, let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 3, let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. And verse 4, let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever. Okay, so we're going to, you know, talk more about each one of those. We're going to break them down into what they mean. But I want you to, let's look at this slide here. It says, the four words of advice for praise are, the four words for advice for praise are give, let. More specifically and extensively, they are give thanks to the Lord, let his steadfast love endure forever, let his steadfast love endure forever, let his steadfast love endure forever, let. Okay? And that's right in tune with, you know, this release and renew path that we've been on, journey we've been on, you know, for Lent. So to further explain, when the psalmist sang, let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Israel as a nation, and we probably have talked about this before, it in its highest significance symbolizes spiritual consciousness. Let me say that again. Israel as a nation, in its highest significance symbolizes spiritual consciousness from a metaphysical perspective. Okay, so Israel represents the thoughts that have been worked delicately but elaborately in truth and righteousness. Now think within yourself. Thoughts you've been working with, you know, that you've been working with, maybe not so delicately, but, you know, working with delicately and elaborately, in other words, to bring truth and righteousness into that thought process within yourself, okay? So Israel symbolizes the thoughts that transform our intellectual mind, which is usually what we're working with to try to get ourselves into a better spiritual place. So Israel symbolizes the thoughts that transform our intellectual mind into our natural spiritual mind. You notice how I said it. It transforms our intellectual mind into our natural spiritual mind. Or from our human consciousness to our natural innate spiritual consciousness. Now, next, the psalmist saying, let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Now, Aaron, as you know, if you've been studying the Bible for a while, you know that Aaron is the brother of Moses and the first high priest of Israel. And the bearer of, he's a bearer of intellectual light to the Israelites, okay? This is all coming from that Drake's interpretation I was telling you about. Okay, so Aaron signifies the ruling power of intellectual consciousness. Aaron signifies the ruling conscious power of intellectual consciousness. So when Scripture says, let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever, it is saying that we should direct our intellectual house, meaning the whole of our thought process. And we typically think of thoughts as mind, but thoughts are really mind, body, spirit, soul. It's the total aspect of your being, okay? So it's saying to us that we should direct our intellectual house, the whole nature of our being, thought and everything, to acknowledging that we love, that the love that God, we love the love that God endures, okay? And we know that it endures through anything that occurs in our lives. So again, our intellect, which we use to, you know, read books, listen to lessons, study, meditate, all the stuff that we do to try to, you know, switch our mind from intellect to spirit, is saying, let that intellectual house, the whole of our thought, acknowledge that the love that God is endures through anything that may occur in our lives. And finally, the psalmist sang, let those who fear the Lord say. Now, we always have a problem with that word fear. You know, let's say that his steadfast love endures forever. Now, the word fear has different connotations. And in this scripture, the word fear is used with Webster's interpretation, meaning awe or profound reverence, especially when referring to the Lord God. So if we apply Webster's dictionary to the psalmist's verse, it would read, let those who have awe and profound reverence for the Lord say, let his steadfast love endure forever. And so that, again, that repeating of his steadfast love endures forever is not, no matter what we're going through, we continue in that thought process. Now, from another perspective, we know that fear comes from a lack of understanding. So simply, we fear that which we do not understand. Fear is expressed from lower levels of consciousness. So simply, this verse is advising us to let the lowest to the highest aspect of our being declare that God's love is steadfast and endures forever. So even when you find yourself in fear, the idea is to move your mind from that low state to the higher state by claiming that you realize that no matter what you're going through, God's love is steadfast and endures forever. On another, another word for steadfast is faithful. So our spiritual work is to remain conscious of the reality that the Lord, meaning the divine activity that God is within us, is faithful to us. So let us, in return, be faithful to God. Okay? So that's, I just want to understand what they're proclaiming as they're talking about that. And to further explain, in last week's lesson, we learned how to baptize every area of ourself with the Holy Spirit. If you didn't hear that talk, we would say, if you feel yourself going through something that's troubling, baptize that feeling in the Holy Spirit. And to get more understanding of that, listen to last week's talk. Okay? So we talked about baptizing every area of ourself with the Holy Spirit. Now, in this lesson, we're learning that to praise God in every area of our life, I mean truly praise God, we begin by giving thanks from every aspect of our being in every circumstance in our life. Now, you're not giving thanks for the circumstance itself, right? You're giving thanks for knowing that God's steadfast love endures forever, and it endures right through whatever you're going through. So simply affirm without ceasing. You've heard, pray without ceasing. So affirm without ceasing. I let God. Okay? Say that with me. I let God. That is another way of thinking about baptizing whatever is going on inside of you with the Holy Spirit. And this is the way of Lent, the way of release and renew. Okay? Now, that being to praise God by giving thanks for the activity of the divine mind being present in your mind, your body, your life, and affairs. And it is by letting God be God in every aspect of your life. So you want to let God be God in every aspect of your life. And it's important to be able to realize that we are not letting God when we are fearful and worried. Okay? Again, I'm not knocking the fact, I still go through moments of fear and worry, okay? So it's not that we're not going to go through it, but it's important to realize that when we're doing that, we're not letting God, be God in our life when we are operating from that mindset, okay? Or when we're being manipulative or controlling. We are letting God only when we are quietly listening for that inner guidance, that inner voice of blessed assurance, okay, as it comes, I think it says in a song. So the people of those times knew the prophecy written in Zechariah 9:9, okay? And it said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Okay? Now, before Jesus entered the village, he sent two disciples into the village to get a full-grown donkey and its young colt. There's a lot of meaning in this. And he said, "Tell the owner, the Lord has need of them." For note takers, that's in Matthew 21:3. The Lord has need of them. So now, the full donkey symbolizes, okay, our human intellect that has been trained by us and found to be somewhat dependable, okay? Remember, we always are walking a path typically with our intellect, okay? So, but there's aspects of us that we're working on, trying to train and, you know, get them into more of a spiritual perspective. So again, that's what the full donkey symbolizes. It's our human intellect that's been trained by us and found to be somewhat dependable, or at least familiar, okay? However, it contains all of our negative, our human intellect, contains all of our negative as well as our positive attributes. The cult, however, has never been ridden, okay? It symbolizes our potential for spiritual awareness, which is new and untested. If the cult is trained correctly, it will grow up to be spiritually conscious. And if not, it will follow in the footsteps of the donkey, meaning human intellect. Okay? So the way to train a cult is that it must be ridden, listen carefully, by a skilled, competent rider who teaches the animal to respond to specific signals and commands. All right? I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but this is the idea of using affirmations. Those would be specific signals and commands. Okay? Now, in this explanation, the skilled and competent rider must be one who is a true rider on the spiritual path. In other words, if you're riding this and you are not a true rider on the spiritual path, you're teaching this potential spiritual possibility inside of you false ideas, okay? So a true trooper dedicated to the Lenten journey is what is needed. And this is a person who has learned how to let go, how to be strong, how to love, how to heal, how to pray, and how to relax in the arms of his or her loving God, okay? Only this person is capable of riding the young colt into Jerusalem, as Pam read in her opening reading, Jerusalem being the city of peace. So this is an advanced understanding of the spiritual process, okay? Here we're saying that it is our intellect that calls our spiritual nature into play as we engage the experiences of our life, okay? Because we're typically operating on an intellectual ego level. But if you've been training your intellect in spiritual ways, okay, then what's happening is that that intellect is getting to a point where it begins to call our spiritual nature into play. In other words, it's not going to just react from its typical ego self, but it's going to take time to call our spiritual nature into play as we engage the experiences in our lives. And spiritual consciousness is trained and developed by the person who is intellectually mature enough to know how to make good use of the experiences in life that will teach him or her how to take spiritually based action and to be continuously aware of God's presence in all that is happening in his or her life. So this is the person, the rider of the cult, who teaches a young cult, meaning potential spiritual consciousness, to increase as a rider prepares to decrease. You can hear, that's why it's interesting to keep begin to understand Bible and how it ties together. This idea that the rider is teaching the cult the potential spiritual consciousness and trying to bring it more into play, but at the same time, as this intellectual aspect of our being is training our spiritual potential and bringing it more into play in our lives, then the intellect itself begins to realize it needs to decrease. And it's important to remember that Jesus was riding the young colt towards the end of his own intellectual ego domination. You know, we'll talk about that on Easter. And notice Jesus called into service both the donkey and the colt. He told his disciples to say, the Lord has need of both of them. So this means that as we walk the spiritual path, we need both our intellect, the donkey, and our spiritual nature, the untrained colt, to achieve our full divine potential. So it's the full-grown donkey which symbolizes our human intellect that aids us with our common sense, okay? So yes, The full-grown donkey, full-grown, meaning it has had many, many experiences and learned a lot over time in the life experience. It symbolizes our human intellect that aids us with common sense. But Jesus chose to ride not the full-grown donkey. He chose to ride the untrained young colt into Jerusalem to symbolize the entry of spiritual awareness into our intellect. Okay? So not riding the full-grown donkey, not riding the intellect, but riding our spiritual potential that's coming into expression. Okay? And this would give us common sense. You know, when you do that, now you're getting common sense aided by spiritual guidance. So when you're working on developing your spiritual potential and bringing it into being, yes, our spiritual potential is fully evolved in its own sense, but our awareness of it is what we're trying to pull into expression, okay? So as we work to pull that into expression, now we're going to have the advantage of our common sense, but it's going to be aided by spiritual guidance. And again, it was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a colt." And the word daughter in the Old Testament refers to our human nature. So when we're feeling the urge to react in our normal, fearful way to life's challenges, this prophecy is telling us to be calm and have faith, knowing that our king, meaning our higher Christ awareness, is riding towards us. And it is unfolding with you and me as our spiritual understanding and divine guidance. Okay? And so that's where faith comes in, to know that this is happening. Okay? So do not fear in any circumstance, because your anticipated deliverer is coming to you, gentle and riding upon a reality that is untried and untested in the human experience. And I would say our personal human experience. So what's happening, this anticipated deliverer, it's coming to us. It's going to give us the guidance we need to move through whatever it is we're being challenged by. But from our perspective, it typically is untried and untested, okay? Because we have never, when we get that guidance, a lot of times we go, whoa, I don't know about that, because we had never tried to approach whatever's going on in our lives from the perspective that we are getting, you know, from spiritual guidance. And as that is what the young cult represents, it is our spiritual consciousness that is untried and untested. And we want to ride, or learn how to ride it and use it in our lives. And that's why we are often nervous about and not reacting or defending ourselves in the way we normally do, okay? So it's because our cult is young, meaning our use of spiritual principles to work through the difficulties in our life is untried, you know, untrained, untested. So it isn't, that's what makes us nervous about following spiritual guidance that is not in line with how our intellect has normally figured out how to deal with certain things. Now notice the part which says gentle and riding on a donkey, okay? Significance here is that the Christ is not going to gallop into our intellect and trample our ego. The Christ is not going to gallop into our intellect and trample our ego. It is our spiritual work to train our ego to let God, let God, let God. Remember, life is not about what we can do, but rather it's all about what we can let God do through us. So the answer to the question, how do I let God come into my present reality, is you must surrender to the divine presence by allowing it to ride gently into your intellect. You surrender by letting go of your ego's version or perception of what is happening in your life. And yes, I do know that that is one of the hardest things for us to do, because the intellect has, you know, has been through all of this, and it has a thought about how it needs to respond or react. And then we've allowed ourselves to become programmed to fully engage our fearful imagination as to the negative possibilities that could occur in a given situation. Now think about that, okay? But we must retrain ourselves to become fully aware that we're always being baptized by the healing presence of the Holy Spirit. Simply in every situation, no matter what the appearance or experience may be, we must learn to give thanks that the healing power of the Holy Spirit is present, and then let go of fear and worry. Let go of anguish and depression. Let go of anger or blame or wondering about what did I do wrong. And as I said before, you know, let go of your ego's need to take you on some fear-filled journey. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:30 and 31, he says, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? And Paul is asking, why do we struggle to stay as we are instead of letting go of our perceived self, dying to the old self, which is filled with the fear and fueling this present dilemma, you know? And it's also interfering with our grasping the reality of who we truly are. So it's only by grasping the reality of who we truly are that we will be healed of the circumstances that we're struggling with, okay? Now, the first healing has to come within us, and to not dramatize or project our own thought upon what it is we think we're going through or getting ready to go through. And in many times in our lives where we may want to cry out, just like Jesus said, cried out and said, Lord, take this cup from me, this burden from me. It's recorded in John 12:27 that Jesus said, well, now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And boy, that's tough. Because here Jesus is saying, embedded within this experience that I'm going through is the ingredients of the catalyst that will project me to the next phase of my transformation into Christ consciousness. Okay, and life is filled with those transformative moments, and nothing we do seems to stop them from coming. So we might as well learn how to take advantage of them instead of allowing them to take advantage of us. So if increased spiritual awareness is what we really want, we must develop within ourselves a willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to touch us. And I mean touch us deeply, just like in the prayer, heal me deeply. And in a sense, to be touched deeply by God is what Paul talks about, is about dying. To be touched by God deeply is dying. But it's not dying to life. It's dying to erroneous, fearful, dramatic thinking that contributes to the turmoil in our life. So as we enter the final week before the astral crucifixion, let's think about what we're willing to let die on the cross within ourselves so that we too may decrease so that our indwelling Christ may increase. And I'm going to leave you with this quote from today's Science of Mind magazine, April 10th, 2022, written by Ernest Holmes from his book, Ideas of Power. And he says, love is the only final security in the universe. Love is the only final security in the universe. Love is the greatest healing power in the universe and the only thing that binds us all together in a community of spirit. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Thank you for that lesson. That was really wonderful. So, Unity family, let's center ourselves and take some deep breaths as we slowly begin to relax our minds and bodies. Find that comfortable space, your feet flat to the floor and your hands laying gently in your lap and your eyes closed if you wish. This is our time for reflection and a time to be able to use that power of imagination that we have all been given. This is Holy Week. And what a gift we are receiving as we turn within for security, faith, and God's never-ending love. I want you to imagine with me now, palm branches at your feet and all around you. The palm symbolizes victory, triumph, gladness, and all that is brightest. The willow symbolizes sorrow, humiliation, captivity, and death. We call it the weeping willow. These two trees were brought together because they grow together in human life experience. No matter who and what we are, life is a mixture of all that these trees symbolize. So now I invite you to relax and rest in the peace of God. Keep your thoughts on the peace of God flowing over you in fathomless billows of love. As you walk the palms in your mind, know that this is the path of the one who showed us what we all might be. Imagine yourself as Jesus entering Jerusalem. Connect with the nonviolent Jesus. Allow yourself to be still and be aware of the choice you get to make in every moment of violence or nonviolence, chaos or peace. From the awareness of your nonviolent self and the peaceful self, feel the compassion, the grace, the love, the purity, and transcend from the physical world to the spiritual world. As we continue our walk, remember the victory, triumph, gladness, and all that is brightest. Now I ask that you take the following words as your very own. Dear God, I too have made my journey into Jerusalem. I have walked the palm branches as a reminder of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem so many, many years ago. I give thanks for Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem and for his teachings that he has given us to live a life of abundance, peace, and joy. I give thanks and know that I too can overcome and live in the kingdom of God that lives and dies by love, service, and forgiveness. And now let's spend a few moments in the silence of the secret place of the Most High. We do thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. We go forth this week knowing that your guidance and your love and protection are with us every step of the way, and that we should lean on you for whatever it is that we need. For all our blessings, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Hosanna and Amen.
Wow, that was wonderful. Peaceful. Great. I loved it. This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We just give heartfelt thanks for all the wonderful donations that have been coming. If you're new to this and you're just you're watching on YouTube and you're wondering how you can give, if you just look right down below and click on the Show More button, you will see different links that you can use to donate to Unity. And we thank you in advance for all of your wonderful donations. So with that in mind, let's hold our offering in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue thy healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And now we have light notes.
Yes. So this week makes 2 years since Christine Harper founded the group called Keeping the High Watch Prayer Call. We have a dedicated group of Unity Center of Light volunteers who hold the space each weekday from 4 to 4:15, and they keep the high watch for one another, our community, and the world. We honor those who tirelessly serve our community in this way. We are inviting everyone to give it a try any weekday for 15 minutes of connection to each other and to spirit. When you are ready, we are on Zoom. Please check your updates and e-newsletters for the link. And on Sunday, April the 24th, Lily Sandberg will be our guest speaker. Her talk title is, What About If I Don't Want to Let Go? And our guest musicians for that day is Nina Gibson and Leanne Gioli, so don't miss that service. And next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday, and our guest musician will be Safi. We hope to see everyone, and I mean everyone, in the Zoom Fellowship as well as on YouTube. Okay? Thank you very much.
All right, so now it is time to...
Bless the path we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. And now the prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. So we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session right after this, and we look forward to seeing you in the Easter service next week. So other than that, have a wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.